Hi everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Raw Rundown, episode number 34. My name is Kenny McIntosh, joined as always for Raw with the Marmite man himself, David J. McCutcheon. Hi, David.
Hey everybody, how is it going? Kenny, you mm-hmm. will not believe this. You will just, you're going to hear it, and you're going to go, no.
But right.
I have had the worst week on the planet. To start, how has your week been, Kenny?
Well, first of all, if you want to know what David's talking about, go and read his Twitter. That's essentially the message on that deal, but he can't talk about. But
I can't say I was in a hellacious car accident on Sunday, and my best friend has a concussion. My wife may have a broken rib, and I have a severe case of whiplash. Beyond that, I can't really discuss it for legal reasons, you guys.
Well, yeah, I mean. All of those injuries can also just be the offshoot of a good sexual Saturday night, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, here's the thing, though, Kenny. Here's the thing. No matter what my injuries and the injuries to my friend, it was nothing compared to the clown car crashes that took place at MMW 10 years ago this week. So, happy anniversary to that event and the 12 people that paid for attendance.
I'm glad that we got 2 minutes in before we mentioned your failed mud wrestling promotion. now, I also think we should bring up the fact that, you know, you also promoted at one point in MMW Mini Mankind.
I did. It didn't really work out, though, because we couldn't find a mask that really worked. And this was before the WWE was really Sue happy and stuff. So we named him Mini Mankind, and it was three words instead of two. And we ended up just taking a jock strap and smearing it with cow feces, some fecal matter, to give it that color. And, you know, just kind of slapped it on the midge's head. And, you know.
For fuck's sake. Well, you know, and a more serious note, like, I just Googled Mini Mankind there. And This is not funny. Oh, God. Are you aware of how many Mankind died?
No. No, I am not. We didn't use the real Mini Mankind.
Okay. Well, the real Mini Mankind.
We just kind of doinked it. You know, we just took a guy and put it in the costume.
Now, obviously, if you are a Mini Man, you have a twin brother who's also a Mini Man. And first of all, this is going to sound like I'm making this up, but I'm genuinely not making this up. They were midget twins.
Sure.
And they were found murdered in June of 2009.
Oh.
And they two female prostitutes approached the midgets in a bar and invited them back to their hotel room where they spiked their drinks, putting what was believed to be eyedrop mix in their alcohol. And when the two midgets were passed out, the women stole their wallets and cell phones, and they died.
Oh!
Two prostitutes killed Mini Mankind and his twin brother in 2009.
So don't keep us with bated breath here, Kenny. Did they catch the prostitutes that killed Mini Mankind and his twin brother?
Well, the Mexican police did arrest one of the two women. They traced the whereabouts by tracking one of the cell phones from the midgets.
Oh.
And then in August of 1999, they found the second suspect. The second suspect admitted to being at the crime scene, but maintained that it was her accomplice that killed the midgets.
Mm-hmm.
Likely.
The two women me out of many midget murder mysteries, let me tell you.
The two women were found guilty and sentenced to 47 years in prison.
That seems fair.
Thing, right? Just plain devil's advocate.
Sure.
Say you kill a midget, right?
Sure. I mean, not that I would know.
Wouldn't that be like half the sentence of a normal killing? Like, because you've not killed like a full-sized person. You've killed like half of a person. So like, surely the 47 years should be like taken down to like 23 and a half.
Kenny. Hmm? They're people. Okay, even though they're smaller, they are people. For Christ's sake, Kenny. It's like you owned a midget mud wrestling promotion that killed them or something. God.
I really want to have a midget as a friend. Like, I'm not being funny. I really do. Because I think the best kind of midgets, I would imagine, are the ones who, like, use the fact that people are uncomfortable sometimes to their advantage.
Yeah, they have to.
Because that's the best, right? But, like, it's like the Great Khali, right? The Great Khali, when he was on the Batista DVD, Batista was like, oh, you know, I was telling all these guys about our great matches, and Khali was like, ha, 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 don't lie. Like, because Khali knows he's absolute shit. That's the joy of Khali. Anyway, don't know why. The reason that Mini Mankind came into my mind is because I've been watching Retro Raw for this week's episode coming up, where we see Masquerita Sagrada Jr. and Mini Goldust against Mini Mankind and Mini Vader, which is just one of my favorite things ever. Because I never knew that Mini Vader was a Mexican man with a like hot blonde gold streak of hair in between the jock strap. I mean, it's just a joy to behold, really.
Yeah, it's truly, and you know, we booked Mini Vader three times, actually. Uno, dos, tres, my friend.
Wow, you're really hitting our Spanish demographic there.
Oh yeah, the Spanish demographic, they're going nuts. Que pasa, my friends? Que pasa? The thing about Mini Vader, though, that we ended up having a falling out with was he wanted too much money, Kenny. Some of these guys, they get a big head, and, you know, what were we supposed to do with Vader, right? Like, it's not like Mini Mankind, where we could split it up into three words. Vader's just one word, so we couldn't use that actual gimmick. So we ended up doing Vader with a T instead of a D. And, you know, he was running around like he was hot shit. And, you know, the balls, the gall of some of these miniature performers who go on WWE and they're there for a few weeks and then they think they're a star. Are you kidding me? So here's the thing, Kenny. I've learned that I will no longer, whenever we resurrect this, and like I said earlier, you always need an accomplice if you're killing a midget, and you would be my accomplice. You would be my co-conspirator for the Midget Mud Wrestling Revival, MMWR. Whenever we bring it back. No, I'm not done yet, Kenny. And I have decided that we are no longer bringing in the miniature performers, or midgets, as it were, who were formerly on WWE TV. But we will bring in miniature performers who have current WWE gimmicks. And I cannot wait to see Mini Braun Strowman against Mini James Ellsworth. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. Now you can say whatever you were going to say, Kenny.
And I assume that Micro Cole will be on commentary.
I don't know. Puns are great, but isn't the focal point of the comedy?
Because having a midget with a pun would be much less genuine and classy as midget mud wrestling.
You have to have standards, Kenny. That's all well, I'm saying.
Whenever you find them, we will do a breaking news update on one of the podcasts, because it's not coming anytime soon. Can I tell you about my fucking horrid day yesterday?
Yes, feel free, Kenny. Go ahead and vent.
So we were doing WCPW in London, and I want to say a big shout out to Perry, one of our listeners, who was sporting an Inside the Ropes t-shirt.
Ooh,
at the event. Big ups to him. He was talking about how he listens to our podcast on the way to work, and it takes him about 20 minutes each way, so it basically covers Monday to Friday. He actually told me that David had been in the car accident. I didn't know because I'd been away.
Oh, goodness.
So it was nice to be updated. But we're there and we're doing the show, and I will not name names of performers, but like basically there was one performer who like we were going to have fly back to the States today, and we had it all sorted. And then like, so we finished the show and we're driving from London up to Newcastle where the offices are. But we thought we'll stop halfway and sleep at a travel lodge. And we get there, and I say the names for the rooms, and the woman's like, well, we don't have any rooms for that name. And it suddenly dawns on me, like, the flashback from 2 weeks ago of when I had the page on the last page to book the Travel Lodge, and I didn't follow through with it.
I've done that.
So this is like 4 a.m. and everyone's kind of like, oh, you know, because there's no hotel room. And then we have to go to the Premier Inn in Doncaster. Have you ever been to Doncaster, David?
It sounds like a wonderful place. If
no,
you
no, 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 no.
Get your Doncasted.
Oh God! Basically, if a town was a visual representation of AIDS, then Doncaster would probably be up there.
Doncaster. Now it was named after Larry Doncaster. The man who would go on to mold and sculpt many penises, which would be used for sex toys. Is that correct?
Well, you do know that I'm saying Doncaster, not Dongcaster. I know that dong is something you think about frequently.
Now, see, it was originally Doncaster, though, and then they kind of realized, oh, wait a minute, that's a little risque. Some Americans might get offended if they hear it, because then they'll think of a penis. So they ended up renaming it Doncaster. But rest assured, it was Doncaster, and it was named after Larry Doncaster.
So then we get to this Premier Inn in Doncaster, and the guy who's checking us in decides that, like, see, just for shits and giggles when it's 4:35 in the morning, and you book 3 rooms, that it would be really fun to process them all individually. Which, you know, is just so great. And then I think, right, okay, it's 4:45 in the morning. Everyone's checked in. I can finally go to bed. And then I look at my phone and I have a text message from one of the airlines that one of our guys' flights was cancelled due to a snowstorm in New York.
Ugh.
I've never experienced a headache like that moment in my life. So I spent the next hour trying to sort stuff out for him. And I finally got to sleep at 5:45 before having to get back up at 9:45 to continue on about my day. So the gist of it is, if you would like to become a travel agent for What Culture Pro Wrestling, please send me your details, because I don't want to do it anymore. I desperately want to get rid of that job title. But that was my day, which seemed like it was never going to end. But there was some good wrestling, and I did get to take Pentagon Jr., on the London Underground to go and get his flight. And they were all, it was him and his cousin, and they were just speaking Spanish the whole time. And there was one point where I was like, they could literally just be like saying anything about me they wanted. They could be like, look at that guy, look at that Kenny, that piece of shit, look at him, look. And they're just like going, see, 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 ha, ha. I was getting so paranoid about it.
You needed to have me there. I can count to 3 in Spanish, Kenny. I don't mean to brag, but...
that's a great thing to know if we ever need to run away from people in Spanish. But should we talk about Raw, the show from last night? It's 3 weeks till WrestleMania, or just less than 3 weeks. So this was the third last Raw before WrestleMania, live from Detroit, Michigan, at the Joe Louis Arena, the last show for the Joe.
The very last show for the Joe. My wife grew up in Michigan. She's from Michigan. She is a Michigander, much like Sandra. And I asked her if she ever caught a wrestling show at the Joe Louis Arena, and she said no. And I was like, oh, well, I was going to tell a wonderful story of your reminiscence and recollections for Inside the Ropes for wrestling at the Joe. The Joe Louis Arena, one of the greatest arenas in America, which is facing its last wrestling show. And no, nothing poignant, just no, never experienced it. So,
well, thanks for that story. That was really a crucial 30 seconds to the podcast.
Thanks a lot, Val. You ruined everything.
Yeah, fuck you, Val. So, or not at the moment with her injuries, but, like, you know, she's there. We prop her up and just... Throw her a snack every couple hours.
throw some Cheetos over near Val and her body cast.
But it's in the Joe Louis Arena in Detroit. They open up with Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman coming out. Heyman drops to his knees. He's in awe of Brock from the F5 last week. And He does this bit where he's like, you know, the end result is going to be down goes Goldberg, down goes Goldberg. And he said that's what the announcers will be saying at WrestleMania. And then obviously the kind of end part of the segment was Heyman saying the resurrection of Goldberg will be put down at WrestleMania, and Heyman's vision of the future will be validated. And the final part of the promo was F5 equals Lesnar goes up, down goes Goldberg. Lesnar and him walk away to end the segment. What did you think of this as sort of a standalone promo just to kind of help build Goldberg and Lesnar for Mania?
It didn't resonate with me as much as I had hoped that it would. I think it was the repetition, perhaps. I don't know exactly why this didn't really click on all cylinders for me. Goldberg got a timid response from those at the Joe Louis Arena. I think his winning the Universal strap has done his character more damage than good.
And do you think that's more the execution of how it was done, or just it being done in general?
It being done in general. I mean, the timing is not necessarily the best in terms of the vocal folks that come to the shows, and I won't use the term smark, but you know, the smarter fans. No one's really that smart at a wrestling show, right? But smarter than the average.
You know, my take on it, I feel the execution does have a lot to do with it, because I don't think the execution was great it's gonna sit, whatever I say, people are gonna think that I'm just like trying to big up Goldberg because he's coming over. Inside the ropes.co.uk for tickets, general admission tickets available still for all three cities, London, Manchester, Glasgow. But like I do think that, you know, if you look at his return, he came back to Survivor Series, big reaction. He does the Rumble, great reaction. And then leading up to Fastlane, it was good, but then it almost felt like they telegraphed that he was going to win it, and then when he won it, and Kevin Owens kind of got nothing out of it. And I feel like that's more where the hurt is. It doesn't feel like people dislike Goldberg necessarily, or dislike him being in the main event, but it's more like they dislike the way that Kevin Owens was maybe tossed aside for. But the thing is, you know, you and I have had the same conversation on Twitter with other people. Like, there's quite a lot of vocally angry people about this being the main event or this being the match for the title. And you and I kind of have come at it from a similar perspective of like, you know, if we weren't getting Jericho and Owens, like I would understand it completely, but we're still getting that match.
Right.
And it's still being heavily featured. So, I mean, I still think that in the long term, the Goldberg-Lesnar thing is going to be the right decision. But
yeah.
I also wonder if part of it is that people don't dislike Brock Lesnar. So like, it's difficult because you're asking people to basically choose between them, and neither of them are really playing the heel.
Yeah, that is a it's a valid point. I don't know what it is about the build to this match. Have you read the I won't say spoilers, but the current plan for the match?
No. Yeah, I have not.
This is kind of new then for you. Is this okay. Something you would wish to hear about, or would you prefer to go in blind?
No, I mean, it's 3 weeks away. It could change six times between now and then. I'm happy to hear
that.
It.
What I think.
Let's do a thing. Right, what we're going to do is I'm going to put 60 seconds on the clock, and we're going to talk about this for 60 seconds. So that if you're listening to this and you don't want to know, we're not spoiling it for you. So let me just get that stopwatch up now. So if you don't want to hear what this is, fast forward the podcast by exactly 1 minute in 3, 2, 1. Okay, what is it?
According to the Wrestling Observer newsletter, the current plan for the main event is for Goldberg to quickly be dispatched by Brock Lesnar, and Brock Lesnar to win and essentially crush Goldberg's run. As, well, comeback in general. Essentially, just as Paul Heyman is predicting it. We're talking just a minute or two in terms of a match, and it would be a fitting end for Goldberg-Lesnar. For Lesnar to go up and Goldberg to go down.
I think that's cool. Like, I'd be into it. I don't think it should probably go in last if that's what they do, but...
It's also scheduled to go on last.
Dangerous move.
Yeah.
But you know what? I kind of like shit that's controversial, so I'm quite keen to see what they do. And keen to see the crowd response, so
right,
I guess
right.
We will see. That has been the minute, so we've talked about it. So, you know, I guess we'll see what happens.
It is what it is. Yeah,
it is what it is. We will see how... You know, the thing is, there's been stuff in the past where you've heard about it and you've been like, that's going to be the best thing. And then it's like, eh, wasn't that good? And there are some things that you think are going to be shit and they turn out to be really good. So,
And then there's some times where you hear something's great and then it ends up great, or you hear something shit and it ends up being just as bad as you thought.
Exactly. So, like, you can never really tell what it's going to be. But
that's why wrestling is an art form, because the execution can completely change the complexion of how you look back at the events that unfolded before your very eyes.
I concur. There's a Mick Foley, Stephanie thing that we're going to kind of talk about all in one at the end.
Sure.
Rather than sort of just talking about segment. Sasha Banks had Bayley in her corner against Dana Brooke with Charlotte in the corner. Sasha got a very quick victory over Dana. Charlotte then kind of is, you know, slating Dana in the ring, and she's about to fire her. And she says, you know, actually, I'm going to teach you. And before she do anything, Dana Brooke just... punched the shit out of Charlotte. they had this brawl. The crowd were like going nuts for it. And
yeah.
As Charlotte broke free, the crowd was chanting Dana to everybody. This kind of floored me. Like, I did not realize that the crowd wanted a Dana Brooke babyface turn as much as they did. And what did you think of this?
I'm completely with you. Like, in terms of an isolated incident, if you put this in front of a Pittsburgh crowd, I probably wouldn't have been that big on it, or, you know, huge on the whole thing. I felt like the Dana Brooke thing was either overcooked or undercooked, depending on how long they were going to roll with it. Probably overcooked, in my opinion, but who's to say? This kind of floored me, though. The crowd was really into it, and I was like, oh, that's fun, and good for Dana Brooke. She absolutely deserves it. She's been kind of relegated towards the back a little bit, and she could always work on her in-ring stuff and everything, but overall, I think she has the ability to be a player, so it's kind of fun. It's kind of weird and awkward with the timing of it, though.
Well, because I guess, you know, spoiler alert, like, I assume we're going to have a Sasha heel soon.
Yeah, so if that happened in her promo with Bayley too.
Yeah, so like, Bayley can, you know, there needs to be another babyface. So I guess Dana, do you know one of my favorite things, and I know some people are gonna knock on it, and I can't blame you, but it's just like, I like, I'm kind of like Sondra in some ways, and you're the same, even though you probably won't admit it as much, but like, sometimes we just like things that are kind of shit.
Oh, like, no, just, I love things fun. That are kind of shit. No,
but like,
no, no.
But the thing is, the bit where Charlotte is talking down to Dana, and Dana's, like, Dana's mouth and her face were doing things that did not compute with what Charlotte was saying. They were completely different react. It was almost like you'd pressed a button on a robot to be like, show sadness, and then there's anger. Show anger, amusement. It's like, it was like one step behind on whatever facial expression. And I love that because, like, Dana's kind of shit, but I like that she is.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, when she was brawling with Charlotte, I kind of bought into it. So, you know, it worked for me.
Kudos to Dana Brooke. It was a fun moment for her.
Now, I have not been I've said this before in the podcast, which is probably going to get people... thinking that I'm a bad person. I wasn't a huge fan of Connor McCulloch going in the Hall of Fame, you know, and Rob and I chats about it. It is not that I in any way do not feel for that little boy, and I think he's lovely and he's one of the cutest things ever, and I'm glad he got everything that he got. But like, for me, I like my Hall of Fames to just be about the people who, you know, were involved in wrestling. That's just my take on it. However, obviously WWE have the celebrity wing, which is, you know, that is what it is. And they introduced the Warrior Award, and they had Connor McCulloch, and then they had Joan London. And I'd read about this year's inductee before I watched the show, Eric Legrand, and I'd never heard of him in my life. I'd never heard who he was or anything about him. So I was kind of going into this video package blind, and I watched it. And for the first time in the sort of 3 years they've done the Warrior Award, I just found myself going, this is really cool. And I think this is really cool. This guy, who apparently is a wrestling fan, is going to get to come and do this. And if we're going to go down this route where, you know, other people are getting an award for bravery and stuff, and it's a side part of the Hall of Fame, maybe I need to just loosen up and, you know, remember that it is just wrestling. It's not life or death. So, yeah, I just thought this video package was really cool, and I'm happy for him that he gets to go in and get this Warrior Award. What did you think of this video package? And I'm guessing you would probably be familiar with him.
I don't like college football, college American football, as it were. I love pro football. I'm a huge Seattle Seahawks fan. Go Hawks. They just signed the fattest running back in the history of running backs. But, like, I don't really pay attention to the college scene. So I knew of him based on him being paralyzed. But I didn't know him as a player before that. I guess that's the best way to put it. Here's my thing with it, is anytime you can use your spotlight and your company's name and your company's promotion and, you know, the marketing machine that is the WWE, anytime you can use that and propel exposure for something like the Christopher Reeve Foundation or anything, you know, any type of fundraiser that helps people who have disabilities or people who are underprivileged or animals or, you know, the homeless, anything like that. I think that that is absolutely wonderful. And so just based on that merit alone, this is great. I wish here's my controversial bit. I wish the award was not named after Warrior, right? Like, we've been over this a million times, Kenny.
Explain this for people who are newer to Inside the Ropes. There's a lot of younger listeners we have who might not be aware of this stuff. So fill them in on exactly why having it being called the Warrior Award could in some ways be controversial associating it to him.
Well, I mean, on one hand, you have, let's use Hulk Hogan as the prime example here, right? So you have Hulk Hogan, who said the N-word, right? One of the worst words in the English language, something that should just be dead and buried and long gone forever. There's no excuse for it, nothing, right? But Hogan has apologized for it. He seems sincere in his apology. Persons of color have come out in respect of Hogan, and you know they're saying, "Hey, that's not who he is." Things of that nature. On the other end of the spectrum, you have Warrior, who was a militant conservative, and who vlogged, however you want to put it, on YouTube about his hatred and his utmost outright clenched bigotry showcased for the world to see freely, which I'm sure you still can if you get on YouTube and look, his utter hatred of gay people. He would use gay slurs. He was against the LGBT community. This is a man who had hatred in his heart for a specific demographic of people. People who I am good friends with. Some of my best friends are gay. People who I consider family. He never apologized for this. This was something that he wore on his sleeve up until his dying days. He never made a public apology, yet he is in the Hall of Fame and Hulk Hogan's not. It's this duality that I face every time I see the Warrior Award and a name which I associate freely because he embraced it with hatred, representing something that is so pure and so wonderful as these people like Connor McCulloch and this gentleman here whose name slips my mind at the moment.
Eric LeGrand,
yes.
Do you know what's interesting is the Ultimate Warrior is a controversial figure for me to talk about because I'm quite good for the most part at disassociating the real life person to the performer. Like I love the Ultimate Warrior. I love that character, and I always will. Now, it doesn't mean that I love or have the fondest, you know, opinions of Jim Helwig or Warrior, or whatever you want to call the guy behind that. But I was very good friends with his agent, and we had conversations about my reservations about the stuff that you just talked about that he said, and he privately told me things about, like, you know, that's not how he feels, and blah 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 blah, and it was taken out of context, and etc. I don't really buy that kind of stuff, but the thing that I have to at least kind of explain is that I got to go backstage at WrestleMania 30 and at the Hall of Fame that year thanks to him. He allowed me to go back with his agent, who I'm friends with. Like, Warrior offered a couple of passes up to us, and I got to have an experience that I would never have gotten to have any other way. So I'm always going to be thankful for that.
Of course.
But I think it's one of those things of, like, people in life are allowed to feel different ways about different parts of a person. You know, like, I think his opinions are repugnant in a lot of ways. I don't agree with most of the things he says, but at the same time, he was pretty much the greatest dad by all accounts, you know, and husband. And he, you know, that last weekend that he got was kind of like the fairy tale ending for him, you know, and that's great. That's cool. You know, he deserved to be recognized for what he did in wrestling. But at the same time, there is that cloud of the other stuff. For me, it's more kind of like, I'm a big proponent of second chances for people. And I think some people don't like that. And that's cool. And it's, you know, the Hulk Hogan thing, again, I'm probably quite biased because he's my favorite Hulk thing. But, like, I will say it one more time. I do not believe in my heart of hearts that Hulk Hogan is a racist. And here's why. He used the word, the N-word, which is unacceptable. But if he really was a racist, why is not one person of a different ethnicity came forward and expressed one act of racism or one time he's done something? Because people who are really racist, like, if they are, there are examples of it somewhere, you know,
deep in the
depths. Whereas what happened was when people outed him is when this video came out, when he was at the lowest point, and the thing, any single one of us, me or David or Sandra or anybody, if we were taped at one of the lowest periods of our life, or even in times where we were joking or whatever, I bet you we've all said things that on tape sound fucking terrible. And the thing is, and I'm not excusing it, but what I am saying is I think that one situation can't define someone overall, because I remember when that whole thing happened and every single African-American wrestler who commented on it said that he not only helped them, but he was like a proponent of trying to get them up the card and help them out and all that sort of stuff. So for me, I think it's more complex than just being like, Hulk Hogan said the N-word, so he is a racist. Or Ultimate Warrior did these terrible speeches, which means that he is a complete horrible human being. There are, like, different facets to people, and that's tough for some people to digest. But I do think that I'm kind of more on your side of it being named after him is problematic from even just purely a PR sense, if you think about it. Because if you delve into that, it's not going to be pretty what you find.
No. And I think my big thing with it too, and I also believe in second chances. I think that people deserve the right to explain themselves. However, you got to remember, sometimes you don't get second chances. Sometimes today is the last day that you will live. And in that instance, you have to live your life. And I guess this is a takeaway, a life lesson, actually. You have to live your life with no regrets. Tell the people that you love how much you love them, every opportunity that you get, how much you appreciate them. And in the case of Warrior...
Thank you, David. I appreciate you too.
In the case of Warrior, he didn't take the time, even though it did seem like that he knew that his life was coming to a close. He didn't take the time to disavow those terrible things that he had said. And a lot of people, you know, they talk about how poetic that weekend was and how his promo on Raw almost kind of felt like he knew that he was going to die. And even if that's the case, he didn't disavow the bad things that he said in that time. And so you have to live every day with no regrets. That's That's how I feel about it.
But the pro to it is that Eric Legrand has got a cool moment coming up.
Absolutely. And that's cool. The foundation that he supports will get a lot of spotlight and publicity as well.
Up next, we had a tag team match for the Cruiserweight division. Brian Kendrick and Tony Nese against Akira Tozawa and TJ Perkins. These four gentlemen, along with Austin Aries, will have a five-way on 205 Live tonight to determine the number one contender for WrestleMania for the Cruiserweight title. This match went longer than the usual Cruiserweight matches, and in the end, Kendrick and Tony Nese got the victory. What did you think of this match?
I'll be completely honest. I was fixing my wife dinner during this match.
I'll be completely honest. You didn't miss a whole lot. Like, it was fun, yeah, and it was fine, right. But it's not like, get the kids, you gotta watch this. You know, it wasn't like
the 205 Live it wasn't like the Cruiserweight stuff that we've been accustomed to seeing on Raw as of late.
Yeah, it was totally fine.
As I was prepping for food, I would come in and glance and go, oh yeah, they're doing spots. And then,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what it's about. Spot. We got Kevin Owens coming out. He boasted about, you know, what he'd done to Chris Jericho, and said a lot of people were upset with him for betraying Jericho, but he was never his best friend. He said he outsmarted Jericho, and he said that he's going to take the US title from him just as Jericho took his title from him. The only thing left of Y2J will be the tears of Jericho crying out, man. And then he finishes it saying that he said, like, who needs best friends when you have a destroyer? And Samoa Joe came out. Kevin Owens is fucking great.
He's really good. He's, you know what the best way to describe Kevin Owens is?
What's that?
He's comfortable in his own skin. Something that 99.9% of the guys who haven't been around that long are absolutely not. He gets his character, he gets who he's supposed to be, and he plays it perfectly. Kevin Owens is a diamond in the rough for the WWE because he understands who he's supposed to be and he doesn't try to be anything else.
Yeah, I actually think that him losing the title has furthered his character. I think the story of his character has got more interesting for me.
For me, I don't think the belt had anything to do with it. I think that it was just the Y2J attack that sort of propelled it.
Well, I think that's part of it, but I also think that Jericho costing him what was dearest to him really added to that, and for me has furthered the feud.
Yeah, it's really good. It's the hot feud going into Mania. I'm excited about it, Kenny.
We got a tag match, though, with Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens against Chris Jericho and Sami Zayn. They were quite smart in that they didn't really have Jericho and Owens going at each other. We did get Owens knocking Jericho off the apron. But when when Owens and Joe were putting the boots to Sami Zayn and wouldn't stop, they got disqualified. And then Jericho came in, and Jericho and Owens started brawling. And the fans were going crazy for it. They were really into it. And then Joe came in, hit from behind. And we got a pop-up powerbomb. And the Destroyer and the Prize Fighter got to walk out in victory. And I love Kevin Owens' WrestleMania 2 t-shirt as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The KO Mania 2. Wife really liked that one, too. She didn't get it at first, though. She's like, why is it a WrestleMania 2 t-shirt? And I'm like, it's his second WrestleMania. And she's like, oh.
I thought this was good. I liked the segment. I liked the fact there was a short kind of match to build to an angle. It was good.
Yeah, yeah.
We got the New Day did a backstage segment called New Day Talks, where they spoke to the Big Show, and he said, and they said that he has the chance to become the first ever 2-time winner of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Titus O'Neil interrupted, and we're gonna get Titus versus the Big Show. David, it is official. The Big Show and Shaq is not happening, and Big Show is in the Battle Royal. Now, I feel like I have said too much on the Big Show.
I don't think you've said enough about the Big Show yet, actually. Kenny, who would you rather win this match later on in this telecast? The Big Show or Primetime himself, the real deal, Titus O'Neil?
I hope Titus O'Neil fucks up that fake ab fucker.
Oh, Titus O'Neil over the Big Show.
Because the Big Show can go fuck himself after what he did to Rusev, after what he did to my family, after what he did to my soul, after what he did to the people who genuinely have abs when he says he has abs, even though he doesn't have abs. There was somebody at the arena who tweeted me saying that he still didn't have abs in the arena. Show me his abs, people. They do not exist. They are a figment of his imagination, and he killed Rusev, and I will never forgive him.
Woof! Them is fighting words.
Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. Let's add a match to WrestleMania with a 46-year-old guy that's not over anymore because he needs more. Fuck off. Oh, people are like, oh my god, I can't believe Triple H is having a match because people fucking want to see him wrestle. That's why. Motherfuckers. Who the fuck wants to see the Big Show and a big fucking NBA fuck Shaquille? Who the fuck wants to see that? Can you... When Shaquille O'Neal came out of WrestleMania 32 in Dallas, I literally contemplated going for a shit. Because I would have enjoyed that more than seeing this big NBA player come out. Because the thing is, I'm not American, so I'm not a basketball guy, so I don't have the nostalgia for Shaquille O'Neal that a lot of Americans have. So, you know, unless you're going to bring out fucking Michael Parkinson or something, or bring it somebody British. American people won't get this, but Michael Parkinson was this like old chat show host who's now like 90 years old. Put him in the Battle Royal, then I'll pop.
What about I'm trying to that F1 guy Shoemaker was Michael Shoemaker?
You could get him.
Yeah, was he British?
He wasn't, but he's closer to British than Shaquille O'Neal. You could put fucking Tony Blair in there. Get him in the fucking...
Oh, God. You know, fuck's sake. Put Nigel Farage in the Battle Royale.
Do you know what? That's the one time I would root for the Big Show, to be fair. just any knockout punch that needs a smug fuck, it's him. I would rather watch the Big Show battle a big tasty burger from McDonald's than watch the Big Show battle Shaquille O'Neal.
Do you remember when the Big Show was the Big Nasty?
He was the Big Nasty, Paul White. And he wore the biggest pants in recorded history. When I say pants, I mean like briefs, whatever you guys call them in the States.
Yeah, you know, they just took the entire wardrobe of Minnie Vader and stitched it together for him. You know that, right?
Oh, God. Anyway, so we're going to get Titus O'Neil versus The Big Show. Fucking send the kids to bed. This one make it ugly. Or nobody will give a fuck. One of the two. Enzo and Cass against Sheamus and Cesaro for a Raw Tag Team title shot. It goes to a no contest thanks to interference from Gallows and Anderson, which now means we're going to get a triple threat match at WrestleMania with Enzo and Cass, Sheamus and Cesaro and the club for the tag team titles. Thoughts, David?
Who do you think walks out of that with the titles at WrestleMania?
Who do I think or who do I hope?
Both.
Think Enzo and Cass, hope Sheamus and Cesaro. How about you?
Ditto. That's all I have to say about this segment.
That's the announcement you get here from Inside the Ropes.
Yep.
Now, we got a match here with Roman Reigns and Jinder Mahal. Now, Jinder Mahal wrestled here for 3 minutes. Is somebody fucking ribbing me here? Like, is... Why the fuck is Jinder Mahal like found some picture from 1997 of Vince McMahon fucking Shawn Michaels, and that's why he's getting television time? Because there's no other explanation. Because Jinder Mahal, right, let's just say this. I don't want to get incriminated. Jinder Mahal is on some serious supplements.
There's no way he's not. Like, you look at that and you're like, he looks fucking abnormal.
He looks like he has people inside his muscles.
And it's so gross. And you know, like, what was good, though? He had a 3-minute Iron Man match with Roman Reigns.
Like, at one point I was like, Roman Reigns, don't you dare sell for this guy. Like,
and he did! And I was like, Roman Reigns sold for fucking, like, what the fuck? Jinder Mahal got offense on Roman Reigns.
You know it's bad when David's like, why is this guy getting offense on Roman Reigns? Like, that's the barometer of how bad this is. It's like,
yeah.
Like, Jinder Mahal, I've interviewed him before. He seems like a nice guy.
Nothing against Jinder Mahal as a man, right?
But fuck, he's dull. I mean, what would you rather watch? I mean, do you remember that Cesaro Jinder Mahal match from Fastlane?
I've been in a car accident this week, Kenny, and I remember that. I remember the Jinder Mahal 45-minute Iron Man match with fucking Cesaro in more of a negative light than the car accident I was in. The horrific car accident that injured my wife, myself, and my best friend. I have more PTSD from Fastlane and watching Jinder Mahal wrestle fucking Cesaro and beat the shit out of Cesaro for 25 fucking minutes straight than I do my wife and best friend getting injured.
I also loved your comparison last week of the slow, painful 3-year death of my father felt faster than the Cesaro Jinder Mahal match at Fastlane.
Every week that Jinder Mahal gets in offense on a big name, then there's going to be another Jinder Mahal rant.
Yeah, well, there has to be. We have to band together to stop this. After the match, Roman Reigns gets the mic and he told the crowd he's not messing around. He wants Undertaker out right now, calls him out. And then we get the music of Shawn Michaels. And Shawn Michaels come out, big surprise. He looks pretty good for Shawn Michaels, to be fair. He said he wasn't going to lie. So Reigns was like, you know, it's cool to see him. And then Michaels basically said, you know, like, I'm on your side. You know, you're distracted, you're unfocused. You know, it's this far out of WrestleMania. Taker's already set up shop in your head. Like, come WrestleMania, he's going to eat you alive. Reigns said that's not going to happen. The crowd booed so hard. And the idea of Roman Reigns just verbalizing that he may beat The Undertaker. And then Michaels is talking. So Reigns says, you know, maybe The Undertaker should be thinking what it's going to be like to be in the ring with me. Fuck you. Fuck you. And then Michaels says, you know, when I'm invested, I get into the stories and I actually hate or love the characters.
Yes, of course.
Michaels, you know, is talking about, you know, you're walking around, you've got a big chip on your shoulder. I've been in your position before. I know what it's like. Everybody secretly wants you to fail. I'm not here to get confrontational. I'm on your side. And then Roman says, with a bit of a burn, with all due respect, The Undertaker retired you, and I'm the guy that's going to retire him. Huge booze, mic drop, Roman leaves to end the segment. But before he leaves, as he's at the top of the ramp, Braun Strowman runs out.
And just
plows Roman Reigns. And to be fair to Roman Reigns, Roman Reigns took one of my favorite bumps here in a long time. Because he just...
great bump.
Like, how the fuck did he get that far down? Like, it was so good.
I was like, oh shit. Like, I was expecting him to get injured from that. I was like, wow, that was a hell of... He just, like, took the bump and just kept bumping.
It was like, bump on bump on bump. Yeah,
yeah, it wasn't one bump. It was several. Oh, my God. It was an amazing bump. And Braun Strowman even tweeted out a GIF of it later on.
Of course he did.
So good.
I'm a big fan of when they bring some old guys back to help current stories. Like, I think that's a cool thing. Bringing Michaels back for this particular thing was good because there's so much history tied in with Michaels and Undertaker retiring him. And I like the interaction. I like the idea of Shawn Michaels trying to, like, reason with Roman and Roman kind of not listening to him and thinking he's kind of got it in the bag already. The dynamic of this promo worked for me. And then, you know, leading into Braun and Roman as well, I thought was a cool parlay into that. What did you think of this segment in terms of bringing Michaels back to try and get him to add a little bit of sizzle to the match?
I thought that it was effective. I'm not usually a fan of let's just trot out an old guy and try to verbally boost a segment or verbally push some young guy. But I thought that it was done better here than it has in the past. The segment, it's starting to gain a little bit of traction to boost the WrestleMania match that we're going to see. I'm still not sold, though, on Reigns and The Undertaker at Mania. Because I know Reigns is going to beat The Undertaker at Mania. And I don't want him to. Just period. Everybody
always
goes, Roman Reigns, what a great heel he's going to be. He's going to get booed so loud. As to where me, I just have go-away heat with Roman Reigns at this point. I just want him off my TV for a year. You know, I need a break from Roman Reigns.
If you're at WrestleMania, are you the sort of person that would boo Roman Reigns in the match with Undertaker? Are you the sort of guy, like, what would your, will you be open to the match when it happens? Or are you just kind of going to, is this going to be the sort of David Huff portion of WrestleMania and when you're there live?
I am going to get really excited for the Undertaker's entrance and the grandeur of the Undertaker at WrestleMania. And every time that Roman gets offense or comes out or looks into the crowd or anything, I'm going to cross my arms and not make a sound. That is go away heat, ladies and gentlemen. That isn't boo, I'm reacting. Boo, you're a great heel. Boo. No. You know who I'm going to boo? Kevin fucking Owens. You know why? Because he's a great fucking heel. You know what I'm going to do for Roman Reigns? I'm going to sit there and stare at my dick instead. I'm going to whip out my dick and stare at it. Because that's way more interesting than a Roman Reigns match.
He is good in big time matches, even if the character's broken. Like he does have
decent
matches.
He's fine, but why should I care about a match if the character is just terrible?
Yeah, no, I get that.
Stakes to a match that I actively don't want to see. Because one of the performers is actively terrible at performing as a character. Like, I can't. It's sort of like, imagine going and seeing fucking Shakespeare on Broadway. But, oh my goodness, who's playing Hamlet? It's Carrot Top. I'm not going to fucking pay to see Carrot Top play Hamlet, okay?
David, I need you to stop there. You have peaked. Ladies and gentlemen, the David's comparison is Roman Reigns being the babyface in a main event with Undertaker is like Carrot Top doing Shakespeare. That is, you've peaked, sir. Do not attempt to continue.
Take
your bow. Yeah, I like the segment. I assume Taker turns up next week or definitely in the go-home show, and I guess we'll see where it goes. we then get a very quick match with Austin Aries beating Arya Divari. Aries' first match on Raw. That was quite cool. Just quick and fine. I've not really got much to say about it.
Yeah. Same here. He got his shit in. It all looked good. Crowd wasn't very hot for it, but to be fair, I mean, they were hot for most of the night. I think they just needed a break.
Yeah. Big Show beat Titus O'Neil. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah. Let's not dwell. We've already dwelled enough on Titus O'Neil and the Big Show.
Jericho does a promo backstage with Mike Rome, and he basically pretends that Mike Rome is Tom Phillips.
I loved it.
Do you know what's good about this? Is like Jericho as a babyface is doing the stuff he does as a heel.
Yes, and
like
and
so
I'm
many
so
times, because so many times it's like, oh, we'll change this because a babyface, and it's like, no, let him keep doing what he was doing because that was part of what people fell in love with. You know?
I guarantee you that Jericho fought for that. I guarantee you, I would put all of the money in my savings account up to bet to say that that was entirely Jericho's idea, that they approached him and said, okay, well, we're dropping the list because that was a heel thing and blah, blah, blah. And he said, no, motherfucker, this is what got me to the dance here. Let's keep on rolling with it because the people love it.
We then got Bayley versus Nia Jax in a non-title match set up by Stephanie earlier on. Bayley would get the victory by DQ because Nia Jax basically just killed Bayley. I guess the question from this is, do you think this means Nia is entered into the women's match to make it a four-way, or do you think it remains a three-way?
I think... Ooh, tough to say. I think that's TBD. Kenny.
Yeah, I'm torn on it because I actually think Nia Jax being in there adds an interesting dynamic to it.
Yeah.
So
I kind of want that, to be honest with you. I think I'm kind of indecisive, but I'm kind of leaning that I want her in that match.
This is the segment that everyone wants us to talk about. Stephanie comes out. She had said to Mick Foley backstage, she wants to be friends now. She tried the tough love thing. It didn't work, you know, but she's got a task for him. He just needs to find a member of the roster and fire them. So throughout the night, we're kind of getting segments leading up to it. So Stephanie comes out, she brings out Mick, and she asks him, "You know, who's it you're going to fire?" And he said that there was no one he could think of, but then a name jumped off the page at him about 10 minutes ago. And he said, "The person he wants to fire is Stephanie McMahon." And the crowd just chat yes uncontrollably at this. And then, you know, Stephanie's like, "It's not within your power." Foley gets worked out and says that she treats the talent like, I think he means to say cattle, but he says chattel. But like he said they're human beings and she deserves to be fired. And he said that he believed her 6 months ago when she said that she didn't know about Triple H, which I actually liked that this whole thing was kind of like a 6 month build. I'm glad there is a payoff here to it. Foley's like, you know, said, I said I had to believe you because if I didn't, you were a really good liar and a really bad person. And I'm here to tell you face to face, you're a really good liar and a really bad person and you need to go. And I was like doing my best sort of like Southern African American like snap thing where I was like, "You go, girl," to Mick Foley. Like I was sassing all over the place watching this. And Foley says, you know, he won't be silenced. And then he starts talking to Triple H when Triple H's music hit. He comes out. He throws loads of shade at Foley. Foley says that he, unlike the rest of the locker room, he doesn't need to pretend to like Triple H.
Oh, I love that. What a fucking great line.
Hunter brings up, like, Dewey, his son, and says he'll put him in the unemployment line. And, oh, it was fucking great. And then Triple H basically orders Foley to leave. As he goes to leave, he pulls down into his pants, and as Stephanie's cutting a promo, Triple H goes over to get him out of the ring, and Foley hits the mandible claw on Triple H. The fans go nuts. Stephanie low blows Mick. Hunter's taking his jacket off. He's going to attack Foley. Seth Rollins' music hits. He comes out with one crutch. He's there standing. Triple H is like, "Come on, motherfucker, you know, let's go." And Seth Rollins picks up the crutch, does a mic drop with it, takes his jacket off, has a t-shirt on saying Kingslayer, gets in, they brawl, they go back and forth, the crowd going mental, and then Triple H gets a knee shot with the crutch and ends up like taking out, applies a leg lock to Seth and sort of takes him out to the end of the show. This angle, I thought, was 10 out of 10. It was excellent.
This was the, since we've been doing the Raw Rundown, practically a year now. Let's just go, hey, you know, we're nearly there. This was probably the strongest main event talking segment that we've seen. Mm-hmm. This was the blow off for Foley. Foley regained his credibility as a performer here. He ended up getting the one up on Triple H. He didn't take shit from him. I was a little sad that Stephanie was still Foley's downfall, but I think that was, you know, supposed to be symbolic in a way. So I get it. Once Seth came out, I was like, all right. Then once he held the crutch up and dropped it, I was all over the place. I was like, there's no way he's that healed already. And sure enough, he jumped in there and it was just pandemonium. And whenever Triple H was doing those crutch shots to the leg, I was wincing. And I was saying, no, 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 no. And, ooh, man, oh, man. You know what they did here, Kenny?
What's that?
They turned Seth Rollins' baby face.
Yep, I think they did. This was the strongest segment for him. I think Foley was great. I think Stephanie was great here. Triple H was great. It all worked. You know, Sean Sines, one of our listeners, he tweeted out a few minutes ago and just said to me, you know, the promos on Raw the past couple of weeks have been top notch. I feel like WWE don't get enough credit when they do good stuff. And I think that is important to say because, you know, sometimes it's easy to just say, oh, Raw's 3 hours and blah, 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 blah. But some of the segments recently have been great. Really great. And I think that they've stepped up a notch in some regards, in the lead to WrestleMania. It's not everything is great, but there have been some really great things going on. Festival of Friendship, Samoa Joe's debut, the stuff with Hunter and Seth a couple of weeks ago. Like, there's been loads of good stuff on Raw. Brock and Goldberg. I think they've done a good job in the last couple of weeks of doing
segments. And let's be honest, too. The talking segments with Neville have been out of the park.
Yeah, the Austin Aries Neville segment last week was tremendous. So they've done a really good job of establishing some players in the last few weeks.
They, They absolutely have, and the WWE gets a lot of shit for the 3-hour thing, and it does suck kind of slogging through the 3-hour bullshit, but let's be honest, the Big Show and Titus O'Neil doesn't take away from this main event segment. Whenever they do something right, we overlook the bad.
Yep, I would agree, and I think that this... This main event segment made me put... I had a certain rating for this show in my head leading into the main event, and this was able to jump up two points. So I'm going to give this show an 8 out of 10, because I think the main event segment was so great. I liked Heyman further in the thing, even though it wasn't the greatest promo of all time. I thought the Owens stuff was really good with Jericho. I loved the Roman Shawn Michaels Braun Strowman stuff. I think they built the stories of WrestleMania pretty well. So I thought overall it was an effective show, and I enjoyed it.
I would give this a 7 out of 10, mainly because it didn't have any really great wrestling on it, which is something True. That it's something that I need for my wrestling programs. The talking segments were excellent though. And as you said, 10 out of 10 for the main event stuff. That was just tremendous, wasn't it? Just so good. And the even like the Roman Reigns stuff, the use of Shawn Michaels was really good, I thought. I'm more invested in WrestleMania after this episode, and I can honestly say now, I care about Triple H and Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. I couldn't say that before, but now I can.
Yep, they nailed it this week with that.
They did. So, this was Rollins' big babyface moment, his only good moment as a babyface thus far, and hopefully the first of many.
Fingers crossed. So we will be back next week with the Raw Rundown. It is Raw from Brooklyn in New York, so that should be a hot show. Roman versus Braun Strowman. And much more. David and I should be doing something later this week for VIP. So stay tuned for that. Patreon.com/InsideTheRopes for more content. You can sign up there. We have a YouTube channel which has doubled in subscribers in the last 7 days.
Wow.
With over 7,000 subscribers now. Inside the Ropes. YouTube.com/InsideTheRopes. There's videos up there with Paul Heyman talking about what he thinks if Nakamura goes up to the main roster. Matt Hardy talking about would he remain broken if he went to WWE. Tons of other stuff, and there'll be more content getting added in the weeks and days leading up to WrestleMania when we all get to Orlando. David, where can people find you on Twitter?
They can bug me at ZoopSoul. That's C-O-O-P-S-O-U-L. I try to reply to as many tweets that I get as possible.
You can find me at KennyMC1985. I hope you guys enjoy SmackDown. Road to WrestleMania continues over there and the Blue brand as well. Sandra and I will be back tomorrow to talk about that. I hope you guys have a good week. Thanks for all the support. It means a lot. It is always fun for us to podcast, and we look forward to finally meeting in person in Orlando. Maybe we'll film it. Maybe we'll film the first meeting between David and I, because I still don't believe someone that atrocious can be real.
Here's the thing, though. If we film it, it won't go on YouTube because there's going to be too many penises involved. It may have to go on Pornhub.
That's true. I mean, we certainly can't put our first game of Soggy Biscuit up there, for sure.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
A game which Sandra will surely win. Thank you very much for listening.
Take care, everybody. Try not to die this week. I think I'm cute. I know I'm sexy. I've got the looks. The drive should go wild. I've got the moves that really move them. I said chill up and down their spine. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy toy. I'm not your boy toy. I make them hot. I make them shiver. Their knees get weak.